Welcome back to another Edge Got In podcast. Thank you for pushing the pause button. It's our mission here at Edge Got In to offer you material taken from adult education, methodology, neurolinguistic programming, neuroscience, and most importantly, the Holy Scriptures, to be able to up your game when it comes to championing your human potential in Christ. Today's topic is entitled, What Do We Know For Sure? So perhaps you're coming to this podcast feeling confused, feeling misunderstood, feeling as if you are experiencing any sense of despair or frustration or anger. There's lots of different emotions that you could be coming to this podcast with today, because that's an emotion is your body's response to your thought life. So based on who you've been giving or what you've been giving free rent to between your two ears, what you've been focusing on, the emotion follows your focus. As we know in Romans 12, 1 through 2, do not conform to this world. Do not conform to this world, my brothers and sisters in Christ, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. So in today's podcast, I'm just going to roll off specific things that we know for sure beyond a shadow of a doubt, based on the truths found in Holy Scriptures. You will learn, and it's our invitation that you declare over your life the specific scriptures shared in today's podcast that will offer you sacred truths that you can camp on, that, or as Jesus says, you can build your house on, your mind, your will, your emotions, that you can focus on and declare over your life and put your confidence in, so that you don't rise and fall depending upon what's going on in the exterior world, so that you can up your inner game in Christ. No matter what you're feeling today, these scriptures that we will share on today's podcast will offer you that clarity of focus for accuracy of response. Perhaps you're feeling uncertainty professionally, personally. Perhaps you're feeling uncertainty politically or emotionally in a relationship or financially or health-wise, as was the case when I was diagnosed with advanced cancer back in 2006. The doctors were sharing with me that they were going to try to get me 5 years. And with three young children, 8, 10, and 12 at the time, that was not good enough for me. So I declared Psalm 91 over my life, every aspect of Psalm 91 of divine protection. I was mentioning to my husband this morning, whenever you're feeling a spiritual attack, and remember, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil. This is not a physical battle. This is a spiritual battle that we're constantly in. And it starts between your two ears, what you give power to, authority to, what you're giving free rent to, serving breakfast in bed, those thought forms, those beliefs, those assumptions, those conclusions that create that sense of identity that's been hijacked by the exterior world. As you've often heard me say, stress, the definition of stress is the power you give. It's the power you give to exterior circumstance, outside circumstance, to define what you believe you're capable of handling successfully. Or another version, which is a little longer, is it's the power you give to outside circumstance to define your worth, your value, your safety, your sense of connection, and what you believe you're capable of handling successfully. So let's take it back today. Let's follow Jesus' lead in Luke chapter 4. He used two methods to overcome the devil. He used declaring scripture. He used prayer and fasting. Actually, three. That's three. It's never good at math. So three methods: prayer, fasting, and declaring the scriptures. Let's follow Jesus' methodology to overcome whatever stronghold or emotion or conclusion or assumption that's driving your bus these days? There's a lot of strife and discord that are roaming around the world right now. So my question to you, a coaching question to you, is what part of that do you own? What part of the exterior events that you're experiencing or witnessing do you own? Well, one, you own your attitude. Two, you own your ability to choose your behavior in the midst of what's going on around you. Always, you can choose what you focus on, because whatever you focus on grows bigger. And as I shared before, you have a little lawyer located by the brainstem called the reticular activating system, or the RAS. And its sole purpose, depending upon your conclusion, it will hunt and gather information to support your impoverished view of reality. Your filters are always at play. They go from dormant to live, dormant to live. And your filters actually, when they're not kept in check, will lead to assumptions, conclusions, beliefs, and actions that are based on an impoverished view of reality. You will distort, delete, and generalize information right in front of your face, depending upon your filters, your conclusions, your assumptions. Your greatest place of empowerment is to camp on observable data. So today we're going to camp on observable data in the scripture. What do we know for sure? That we know that we know that we know is true. We're turning to the Word of God. This is the Holy Scriptures that's powerful, that's sharper than any double-edged sword, as Paul says, piercing soul, heart, marrow. This goes into the depth of who we are in Christ. And so I'm going to just open up in prayer here, and then I'm just going to jump in so I don't go too long today, because I want to make sure to declare these scriptures and share these scriptures with you so that you can take them and declare them along with your prayer and fasting for victory over evil in your life, strongholds, whatever that is. I'm pretty confident that you are coming today with a stronghold. Something outside of you has hijacked you. Something that has you've been giving free rent to, and the reticular activating system, that little lawyer in your brain, is hunting and gathering information depending upon your conclusions about life. When that happens, you will distort, delete, and generalize information. As I've mentioned before, this process is so powerful that in human behavior studies, they have numerous studies where they've actually taken factual, observable data, and because the filter was so strong of the person seeing that data, they were not able to see the observable data for what it was. The example that I've used before in the past that perhaps you'll remember is the deck of cards study. They flipped the red suits with the black suits, and they took this group of people in the study, and they showed the deck of cards that had been switched. So the hearts were black, clubs were red, and the other suits were shifted as well. Everyone who was in that study said that there was nothing wrong with that deck of cards, that it was the same kind of deck of cards that they grew up with, that they used their whole life. It wasn't until the 22nd time of slowly showing the deck of cards and asking participants, do you see anything different? Do you notice anything different about these cards? They even gave them the cue in the sentence stem. Do you notice anything different? Nope. Nothing. Finally, after the 22nd time, only two people in the entire study said, well, I think there might be something different, but I'm not quite sure. I can't put my finger on it. When they revealed the truth, they pulled out a red piece of paper and a black piece of paper. What color is the red piece of paper? It's red. What color is the black piece of paper? Black. So you know this to be truth. This is observable data. Yes, it is. Then they laid out the cards and they were shocked because their filter led to their conclusion of what a deck of cards looks like. Hearts are red, clubs are black. I know that. I've grown up with a deck of cards. Their belief system and conclusions and assumptions distorted, deleted information that was right in front of their face. So Where do we go? The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me to see truth. Help me to decipher what is fact, what is fiction. The place that we do this, that we know for sure, is the Holy Scriptures. When you're confused about any choice point in your life, you're making choices all day long, go to the Scripture for discernment and wisdom. God knows everything. So let's jump in. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sweet Jesus, thank you that you know. You know everything. There is nothing hidden, Father God, from your sight. And as we will learn in today's scripture, there is nothing that you don't see and that there is a ramification for in your will. We surrender ourselves to your truth. Help us, Lord. We are, like Jesus said, a shepherd or sheep that have gone astray. Draw us back. You say, Jesus, that my sheep know me and I know them and they will follow me. They will listen to my voice and no one will snatch them out of my hand. For the Father and I are one. Thank you, God, that no one will snatch us out of your hand in our lives. That we have those momentary lapses of awareness when we get hijacked by shiny objects outside of us that literally rob us of peace. That's Satan's biggest tool, Lord, is to rob our peace, to rob our confidence, to rob our sense of security and guidance. So we ask that you would intervene. We give you permission to sift our mind and remove every thought that is based in deceit, that is based in judgment, hatred, that is based in anything that is not of you. We give you permission to clean house within us. Help us to be accountable. This is not about other people. This is about us, Lord. Show us how to renew our sense of identity in you. Give us the grace to be accountable for the power we're giving to things outside of us to define our worth, value, and capability. Holy Spirit, help us to hold on to the good and avoid every kind of evil. Sanctify us through and through, and may your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, and may our bodies be kept blameless until you return. We know that you are faithful, and whatever you call us to, that you will do it. So we want to be your ambassadors today. Help us to begin again, to shake off everything that is not of you. Help us to make it our ambition to lead a quiet life, to be able to hold on to truth and release falsehood, to have discernment to move forward with confidence and love, to be your ambassador for love in this world. We love you, Lord. Forgive us our sins. Help us to begin again today. Holy Spirit, stir within us truth as we read through the scriptures so that we can focus on what we do know for sure. In your most precious name we pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm going to begin in the book of Thessalonians. This is actually the book that kind of triggered this study today as I asked the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to teach on today that would strengthen the hearts of your people? And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the end of chapter 4, starting about verse 13, Paul is declaring one thing that we know for sure, the Lord is coming soon. The Lord is coming back. That is one thing we know for sure, according to the Lord's word. And he lays it out, actually. We believe that Jesus died and rose again in verse 14. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him, according to the Lord's own word. We tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till his coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep in the Lord. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven. This is what we know for sure, with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, and with a trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. What do we know for sure based on the scripture? The Lord is coming soon. What else do we know about this? That for those who are asleep, that the Lord will come like a thief in the night. He goes on in chapter 5 to say, why people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as the labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters in Christ, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are sons and daughters of the light and the sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who are asleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. So what do we know for certain? Jesus is coming back. We also know that he will come like a thief in the night if you are asleep. We also know that Paul says, be prepared. Be prepared. We know also that we don't belong to the darkness when we're following Christ. We belong to the light. So what does that mean? Let's just go a little bit deeper before we jump onto another set of scripture. It means, he goes on to explain, that when you're living in the light of Christ, you live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone. This is the call of being in the light of Christ. Warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. The timid today might be you. The idle today might be you. Help the weak. Perhaps that's you. You cannot control other people. You can always control yourself. You cannot give out to the world what you haven't mastered first within. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always revenge. Vengeance is not of the Lord. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good and avoid every kind of evil. Hold on to good, avoid every kind of evil. So when we know that we are children of the light, which we'll learn as we read through the other scriptures, that we've been bought with a price, the blood of Christ, that God sent his one and only Son down to win our souls, that those who believe will never perish but have eternal life. We know that to be true. So as you are claiming to walk in the light of Christ, these are the instructions. That's why the Holy Scripture is so powerful. Read Holy Scriptures, fast, pray, declare the Scriptures over your life. This is our victory, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Always, no matter how you're coming to this podcast today, this is and always will be your victory. Declaring the Scriptures over your life, fasting and prayer. Just as Jesus did. We're following his lead from Luke chapter 4. So let's go to our next scripture. And by the way, if you go to edgegodin.com, that's our ministry landing space, edgegodin.com, you can join our podcast and you'll receive the reminders of these podcasts when I record them, which usually is once a week. And you can also see under each podcast, if you go to the website, the scriptures that are declared in those podcasts so that you can take this information, this study, deeper before the Lord, which I encourage you to do so. So our next scripture is John 10:10. The thief, this is what we know. So our topic today is, what do we know for sure? We know this for sure about the devil. How do we know? Jesus told us. He let us know this one. No shocker here. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Or the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. This is something we know for sure. this is something that you have been experiencing your entire life. Either you've played a part of it in different ways when we stumble and fall. It's not a matter of the difference between someone who's following Christ and someone who's not following Christ and not believing is simple. That when you do fall, it pricks your consciousness. You know this was not right. And then you start to take action in your behaviors and accountability for what you've done or didn't do. As Paul says, if you know the good that you don't, and you don't do the good you know you should do, that's a sin. So I'm guilty of that throughout my life. When you come back to the Lord, quicker today than yesterday, that's the difference. Because the truly sinful person, or the person that is lost, has no idea that they're sinning. In fact, they applaud other people that are in sin, separation from God, and doing deeds of the darkness. Their eyes are blind, their ears are blind, their heart is hardened. That's the difference between someone who is a follower of Christ and God and someone who is not. Because when the person who's disconnected from God, they don't see it as evil. It's blinded. In the end times, Jesus says, good will be seen as evil, evil will be seen as good. There's that confusion. So stand firm in the scriptures so that you know what is good, what is true, right, and beautiful in God's eyes. So the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus comes that we may have life and have it to the fullest. Perhaps that's your scripture that you're going to declare over your life today, again and again. Second scripture, Matthew 5, 43 through 45. Again, what do we know for sure? We know this, Jesus taught us, and these are Jesus' words. You have heard that it was said, love your enemy and hate your love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But, see, Jesus is rewriting things here. He's fulfilling them. But I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Are you praying for those who persecute you? Who are your enemies? Jesus has asked us to do this. And we are not our own ambassador. We are Christ's ambassador. He is our lead in all things. If not, perhaps this is your scripture to declare over your life. And Lord, even though I don't feel like praying for my enemies and those people that hurt my feelings and come against me and that persecute me or people I love or believe in, because you say so, Lord. This is Peter's response. When Jesus said to Peter, and he had been fishing all night, he was exhausted. And Jesus said, throw your net on the other side. Peter's first response, Lord, I've been fishing all night. Are you kidding me? But because you say so, I will do it. Because you say so, I will do it. So this is something we know for sure. Jesus asks us to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us. Something we know for sure. He causes his sun to rise on evil and good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. The Lord is after souls. He's not after the things that we're after. He is after the salvation of souls. He is the good shepherd, and he will do and withhold and give and whatever his plan is to be able to increase that fulfillment of his whole purpose for coming, the salvation of souls. And he is not slow in keeping his promises, but he's patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to eternal life. So join him in that prayer. Dear Lord, we pray for the salvation of souls, even of our enemies and those who persecute us. Third scripture of what we know for sure. Again, these are Jesus' words. Be merciful. Just as your Father is merciful, God is merciful. He's also just. You can have both. They walk hand in hand. You can have mercy and you can have justice. Mercy and justice will come forth and burst forth from the earth. This is God. This is his character. He is merciful and he is also just. So perhaps this is your verse that you want to declare over your life today. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A measure pressed down, shaken over, running into your lap will be poured out to you. The measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also says the measure you judge, you will be judged. Why do you look at the plank someone else's or the speck in someone else's eye when you have a plank in your own? We know this to be true for sure. The measure you judge other people, you will be judged. What do you want to do about that today? Fourth scripture, 1 John 1:8-9. We know this to be true. This is from the disciple that Jesus loved. He had so much confidence in his relationship with the Lord that he referred to himself throughout the book of John. And when he wrote it, he was the disciple that Jesus loved. He also wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. He also wrote Revelations. So 1 John 1:8-9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we do not sin, if we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. So what sin do you have in your own life today that you want to confess before the Lord? Ask the Holy Spirit to sift you. Dear Lord, I'm your ambassador. I want to be clear. I want to have a pure heart. Please reveal to me the sin in my life that I can confess it so I'm not deceived, so that your truth can be within me. This is what we know for sure. We are called to confess our sins and to have confidence. We know this for sure, that when you confess your sins, this is what we know for sure, that God is just and he will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ask and you will receive, seek and you will find. Romans 10:8. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is what you know for sure. You can stand on that. You can confess with your mouth, Lord, I don't even know you, but I just kind of stumbled on this podcast. I confess my sins. I don't want to keep living the way I'm living. Save me, Lord. I'm willing to put my trust in you. I'm willing to confess that you are Lord. Change my life today and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Promise, thing that you can know for sure, you will be saved. Galatians 6:6-8. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. This is another thing that we know for sure. We know this to be for sure, that whatever you sow, you will reap. We know this for sure. So you can relax if you're witnessing things outside of you that are spinning you in any capacity. God is just, he's merciful. He also wants the salvation of souls. So you can help with that by praying for those people in your life that he's asking you to pray for. People you don't like, people that are persecuting, pray for them. Pray for their salvation. We know for sure that that's what we're called to do. Also, we know for sure that whatever a man sows, that they will reap. All the more why Jesus on the cross said, forgive them, Father, they do not know what they're doing. He knows what hell is like. He knows the ramifications of people's choices. He has so much compassion and love and desires to get that one lost sheep. He will leave the 99. The one who sows to please his flesh, as we're told by Paul in Galatians, from the flesh will reap destruction. We know this for sure. If you're sowing to please the flesh, I need to be right, liked, and understood. I stonewall, I ugly talk, I use defensive behavior. I blame, complain, and justify. Those are all in the bucket of pleasing the flesh. You will reap destruction in your life. And the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. You have a choice point all day long. What are you choosing to give free rent to? What behaviors are you choosing to follow your thought patterns? You are the gatekeeper. You can always control yourself. If you need extra divine assistance at any point, then that is a job for the Holy Spirit, which we're called. We're going to learn from other scriptures. You're not alone. God's here to help us. So Galatians 6:6-8, what do we know? That a man reaps what he sows. What are you going to sow today so that you can reap from the Spirit and not the flesh, eternal life? Next scripture, Romans 8:28. Perhaps you've memorized this one. Perhaps this is the first time you've seen this one. This is one I memorized when I was 18 years old. And we know this. This is something you know for sure, that God works for good, all things together for good, to those who love him and those who are called according to his purpose. Have you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord? Have you turned from sin? Have you acknowledged Jesus as Lord and Savior in your life? my Lord and my God, as Peter did? If so, you were called according to his purpose. The old is gone, the new has come, the Holy Spirit has entered in. And then you could know this for sure, Romans 8:28, that no matter what you're going through today, no matter what it is inside, the battlefield of the mind, as Joyce Meyer says, you can know for sure that all things work together for good. So much so that no matter what you're going through right now, you can say, thank you, God, that you're bringing about an ultimate good far beyond this ever happening, that you are bringing about something I can't even imagine. And I believe that because the scriptures declare it. So I declare this over my life, that you are working out my circumstance, this situation, for an ultimate good far beyond what I can comprehend. And you're going to make it turn out for an ultimate good beyond it not even happening. That's what he did when I went through cancer and divorce. I clung to that scripture and declared it in my life. He brought about a greater good than had I not even gone through that. He cleansed me of things I didn't even know were strongholds in my life. Because he loves me, he loves you. He will not leave you there. He is the hound from heaven. So perhaps that's your scripture. You want to declare that, yes, in spite of the fact that I think that things aren't working out and nothing's working out for me and everything's going to pot, that you are working on an ultimate good far beyond I can comprehend. I declare that over my life today. Next scripture, Isaiah 41:10. The next scripture, what do we know for sure from Isaiah 41:10? Fear not. You don't have to be afraid. Fear has to do with punishment. And you've been saved by Christ. He has plans for you. So fear not. Isaiah 41:10 says, I am with you. We know that for sure. God is with you right now. Just as you are, do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, help you, uphold you with my righteous right hand. So what do we know for sure from the scripture? Don't fear. Why? Because God's with you. Don't be dismayed. Why? Because God is your God. He will strengthen you, help you, uphold you with your righteous right hand. So perhaps this is your scripture that you want to declare. Lord, I am afraid. I'm scared. Please help me. Help me not to be dismayed. Help me to know that you are God, that you are Lord over every single fearful thought I'm having right now. I bind, rebuke, and cast fear out because you said you will not give me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. 1 Timothy 1:7 is another good one. Or 2 Timothy 1:7, I can't remember, but either one. It's where we are told that He did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, I am with you. Don't be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you, help you, and uphold you with my righteous right hand. You can declare that right where you're at today. Let's move to the next one, Philippians 4:6 through 7. What do we know for sure from this one? So we learned from the last one, don't fear. We've learned and we know for sure that God's with us, so there's nothing to fear. Philippians 4:6-7 says, you don't have to be anxious. Are you anxious today? Anxiety. That's a fear, that's a fear-based emotion, based in self-doubt, based in doubt on things outside of you. Don't be anxious about anything. What are you anxious about today? Be transparent. Lord, I'm anxious about this. What's the first thing that comes out of your mouth when you say that statement? I'm anxious today, Lord, about this. Declare it. Get it out of you. Because then you have the light of your presence on it, and then you can declare this scripture. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So you can say, even though I'm anxious about this, Lord, I'm thankful that you are working for a greater good, far beyond than what I can imagine. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all of your understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Your heart and your mind. Your heart and your mind. Your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. My brothers and sisters in Christ, what is your request today? Even though I'm anxious, Lord, or I believe, help my unbelief. Even though I'm anxious, Lord, I want your peace. Help me to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you hear my prayer. and open my mind and my heart to your peace so that you can override. I give you permission to override the anxious thoughts in my mind. I want one thought, to know you've got this. Jesus, I trust in you. You take care of everything. Jesus, I trust in you. You take care of everything. Next verse, and we have two more after this, and then that will wrap this up. And you can pick your verses, go over this podcast again, write those verses down, declare them over your life to remind your mind of what is truth from the Holy Spirit. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong, be courageous. Do not fear. There's that invitation, or be in dread of them. So who's your them today? Who would you put in that part of the scripture? Do not fear or be in dread of what? What are you in dread of? What are you fearing? For it is the Lord your God who goes before you. He will not leave you or forsake you. So what do we know for sure from Deuteronomy 31:6? Thanks be to God. We could be strong and courageous. We don't have to fear or be in dread. Why? Because the Lord, the God of the universe who created the earth in 6 days, rested on the seventh, is with us. He goes before us. He will not leave us or forsake us. Perhaps this is your verse that you want to declare. Lord, I haven't been strong. I've been weak. I've been doubting. I'm not courageous in this situation. Help me not to fear or be in dread. Remind my mind again, that's where the battlefield is. For it is you who go before me. You will never leave me or forsake me. I forgot that. And I'm sorry, Lord. Because any time that you fear or you dread, you're just forgetting this truth that God is with you, that he will never leave you or forsake you. And I know this to be true. I'm inviting you to do something that was a 24-hour experience for me for 5 years when I was going through advanced cancer. And I had many setbacks. I was not strong many times. I was not courageous. I feared. I was in dread. So what is it for you today? Declare this scripture over your fear and over your dread. Deuteronomy 31:6. Next one, Isaiah 51:4 through 6. Pay attention to me, my people, and listen to me, my nation. For a law will go out from me, and my justice will become a light to the nations. I will bring it about quickly. My righteousness draws near. My salvation is on the way, and my arms will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look for me and wait in hope for my arm. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth below, for the heavens will vanish like the smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and the people will die like gnats. But my salvation will last forever, and my righteousness will never fail. Isaiah 51:4-6. There's a lot contained in these very few scriptures that you know for sure that God is declaring here. His righteousness, his salvation, that he is near, that the heavens will pass away. Which is why I'll often say to some of my atheist friends, I will often say, hey, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Let's just say there is no God, just to play devil's advocate. What's the ramification of that? The people that do believe in God, they die, and oh, there's no God. Let's just say that this is true, that God is God, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that the Holy Spirit was sent to remind us of all the things that Jesus told us and many more things. Let's just say that is true. Let's say you put your hope in that, and then you die. You live your whole life with that hope, and you die and it is true. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. The invitation to follow Jesus Christ of Nazareth offers you today everything, eternal life, salvation, no matter what will die out, including the earth. You will live forever. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. As Jesus said, Mary has chosen what is better. So perhaps Isaiah 51:4-6, you need that reminder that God's salvation will last for everything. Everything else will pass away, but my will, my salvation, my righteousness will never fail. Jeremiah 29:11, second to last verse. I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. This is what we know for sure. God has plans to prosper you. You. He has plans to prosper you and me, not to harm us. We forget sometimes because we give more authority to the things outside of us rather than to the strength of God within us. And greater is the one who lives in us than he is in the world. That's another promise, by the way, from John. Greater is the one who lives in us than he is in the world. Jeremiah 29:11 says, God has plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Did you forget that today? Perhaps this is your verse that you want to declare over your life, as Jesus declared over evil, to dispel the negative little serpents that are trying to rob you from remembering that truth. No, get thee behind me, Satan. God has plans to prosper me, not to harm me. And he has plans to give me hope and a future. Talk back to the devil. Jesus did in Luke chapter 4. Let's follow his lead on that. So this is what you can know for sure. God has plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope in a future. That's a pretty cool thing to know today. Last but not least, the last book in the Holy Scriptures, Revelations 22:11-13. The words of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, as recorded by his beloved disciple, John. Let the unrighteous continue to be unrighteous, and the vile continue to be vile. Let the righteous continue to practice righteousness, and the holy continue to be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me, to give to each according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Behold, I am coming soon. So, what do we know for sure? Jesus is coming back. What do you want to do about that today? What behaviors do you want to minimize, step away from, that are connected to the flesh, the darkness, destruction? What behaviors today do you want to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to make those behaviors a habit that are based in what we know for sure, how Jesus has called us to live, to lead with love, not condemnation, to be forgiving, not judging, to be merciful, just as the Father is merciful. This is an incredible opportunity at the beginning of the year to truly sift out, prune for growth, weed out, pull out the weeds in our own lives, to take accountability. Because often we'll say, I can't believe this is happening, or can you believe they said that about me? Or perhaps you've recently lost your job. Can you believe that they didn't appreciate what I was doing? Anything outside of you that's bumped you today, come back in the castle, take a deep breath, and remember who's ultimately in charge here. Follow the lead of Jesus Christ of Nazareth and declare scripture over your life, because these scriptures and many more, this is just a sample today, are what we know for sure. We know that we know this is truth. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. The one sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Be very careful, my brothers and sisters, on what you're sowing today. Because as Jesus Christ of Nazareth said, I'm coming again, and my reward is with me to give to each one according to what he has done. We're also told in scriptures, this is another thing that's just coming up for me right now, that we will be held accountable for every thoughtless word spoken. The Lord's brought that one to my mind many times when I'm spewing out things from my mouth, because they're in my heart, right? So, come back. Come back to the lover of your soul and begin again today. Declare these scriptures and remind your mind of what you know for sure as a follower of Jesus Christ of Nazareth and a God who loves you and came to save the world. Jesus came to save us. May we be his ambassadors now moving forward. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, sweet Jesus, have your way with us. We've lost our way. Help us to begin again. Help us to declare and what we know for sure during these times of uncertainty, during times of strife. And as when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, that we can't be true followers of you when we are in strife. So help us, Lord, to begin again, because we want to be true followers of you. You were the one who rebuked the devil with the scriptures, with the Holy Scriptures. Help us to do the same. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Dear God, you have come through the power of your love for us in your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may have life and have it to the full. Show us what that looks like, feels like, and sounds like today. We rededicate ourselves to you, Lord. Heal us. Heal our land. We turn to you. Heal us, Lord. Heal our land. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And show us what you want us to do. Now moving forward. Amen. Thank you for pushing the pause button and joining us today. Again, this podcast will be posted at edgegodin.com. If you've been inspired by today's message of what do you know for sure and the scriptures that we share, please share this podcast, forward it on, copy and paste it, send it in a text message, any method you want to use, so that we can preach the good news as long as it's called today and encourage one another. Enjoy your gift of life today and give them heaven out there. Heaven, not hell. Give them heaven out there. Enjoy your gift of life, and I look forward to our next podcast together.